We're going to be in Ezekiel, and I think it will be helpful for us tonight. I don't intend to keep you too long this evening. My point tonight is really just to be looking at the fact that we are having some meetings coming up. We're having some revival meetings, if you want to call them that. You know, revival is a funny thing. It's hard to say that there's going to be a revival meeting, and we've called that for years and everything. And I have no problem with that terminology or anything like that. But we all, I hope, can understand and grasp the concept that we can't just pin down or mark down revival on our calendars and say, okay, that's when revival of the Lord comes, you know, and then we just kind of move on from there. We can't pin in or pencil in revival. Revival is a true work of the Holy Spirit of God working in our hearts, I think in coordinates also with the prayers of His saints and many other factors that are involved. But at times, it can be just a simple fact that God moves upon His people in a very unique and special way. And I want us to see some things tonight that I believe the Lord here in the book of Ezekiel was trying to do for the people of Israel. He was constantly calling them back, I believe, to Him. He wanted them back. He wanted them to come back to Him. Ezekiel is a very descriptive book about the idolatries and, as God calls them, adulteries of the people of Israel. And it's a very descriptive book, and it's very, very intriguing and insightful into how God views whenever His people get away from Him. And I don't think that's any different for us as a church today. All you have to do is really go back to the book of Revelation and read how God talks to His church and those, and to His churches, I might say, in those books, those seven churches, how personal He is with those churches. And I don't think that Scenic Hills Baptist Church gets a pass on that. Amen. I think that the Lord still wants His church to be pure, and He wants this church, His church, to be serving Him. So I want to see some things here tonight in the book of Ezekiel. We'll be looking at Ezekiel 33, 34, 36, and 37. And not all the chapter, okay? You said, I thought it was going to be short, right? We're not going to be doing that. But we're going to be seeing here in Ezekiel chapter number 33. And we're going to see, first of all, the one that is faithfully preaching the word. The one that's faithfully preaching the word in Ezekiel chapter number 33. Now, Ezekiel likens this man, this preacher who's preaching the word, as a watchman that's standing on the walls, looking out, watching for enemies, if you will, all around. And he's likening this man, this prophet, to the watchman that is on the wall. And God's favorite term for Ezekiel is son of man. Son of man. Very interesting. But in verse number 2, it says this, and it says, we'll go ahead and start at the beginning. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So very simple. I don't think that really needs a lot of explanation. It's very obvious what he's saying there. Somebody comes, enemy comes, watchman blows the trumpet, somebody hears the sound of the trumpet. They just say, it's not a big deal, and they get killed. It's not the watchman's fault, right? It was the person who didn't run away. That was their fault. But the person that runs away, their soul will be delivered. But, he says in verse number 6, if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So, he says in verse number 7, he applies the application to Ezekiel. So, thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require, look at this, at whose hand? Thine hand. At thine hand. There is an accountability that is placed upon the preacher for preaching the word of God. He must preach as God has taught him to preach, as told him to preach. And he must learn not to tailor his messages to the crowd that is in front of him. That's really, I think, a temptation of every single preacher that it could be out there to tailor his message to the people that he's speaking to in order so that they, as we might call it, easy speaking or easy listening. That's very easy to do. And the faithful preacher, though, doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He says what God wants him to say. And my point with that is this, is that this is oftentimes used in soul winning and evangelism and things like that. And I have no problem or issue with that. But my point tonight is this, is that when the preachers come and preach to us and they say something, or maybe something comes out of their mouth and they say something that maybe you think to yourself, that's a little harsh. That's a little hard. Maybe pick it up in your own heart that what he says here, he says, thou shalt warn them and speak of the wicked, that to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand. But look at this. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and ye pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, obviously, Ezekiel and the Lord are talking to a country, to a nation that is, in a sense, is going to literally die. I mean, they're literally going to be killed. There's going to be famine. It's going to be pestilence. It's going to be the sword. It's going to be literally they're going to be put to death because of their rebellion, because they do not listen to what the watchman says. Ezekiel is faithful. He proclaims the message, and they do not listen to him whatsoever. My plea to you tonight is this, is that when the faithful word comes from a preacher, from a pastor, from somebody that's preaching faithfully from the Word of God, be sure that you heed and hear the warning. Don't just back off and say, forget about that. Don't just back off and say, well, he's crazy. Don't just back off and say, well, preacher told him my life story. All right. I don't tell anybody that comes and preaches, I don't tell them one single stark of information about anybody in the church. I don't think that would be right. I don't think that would be good. That's not my purpose. I want the Lord to work. I don't want to work. Amen. And if God works in the situation and God brings the thing out without me saying a word about it, I know that it was the Lord. I know it was God. And you know it was God. And you know it wasn't me. You know it wasn't just that preacher. You know it wasn't just, you know it was the Lord talking to you. You know, preaching is a very interesting thing that God has used to communicate his message to his people and to the lost, if I'll say it like that too, is because in a very real and very odd way, preaching is like prophesying. Because prophesying says something, it prophesies of a future event. But sometimes it prophesies of things that they didn't understand or they didn't even know about. And preaching is a lot of times like that too. Preaching will sometimes, a preacher will get up and preach and say the word and preach the word, and somebody will say, how did he know that about me? How did he know that about me? Well, he didn't know that about you. He didn't know anything about you. But God used the method of preaching because that's the way the Lord has chosen to communicate his message. You say, well, I don't think it's a very effective way. Well, hey, you're looking at somebody right here that thinks it's not a very effective way either, because I was called to it and I don't think I did a very good job. But that's not the point. The point is not whether we think it's effective or not. The point is this, is that it is effective because that's the way that God ordained it to be. So there's the faithful preacher, and we need to be sure that we listen to the preaching of the word this upcoming week. The second thing I want you to see this is in the same chapter in Ezekiel chapter number 33 is I want to warn you though tonight second of all is make sure that you don't have a fleeting heart. There's the faithful preacher, but there's also the fleeting heart. And I want you to listen to this. It says now in verse number 30 of the same chapter, it says, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they do hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. You know, I think that is a very stout condemnation of listening to preaching right there. Of preaching where people listen to it and they say, those are great words. Those sound that he did such a good job. I really appreciate I like his enthusiasm. I really appreciate what he has to say. And so they hear it. They talk about it. They're talking by the gates about it. They're talking by the walls about it. They're saying, hey, they're even inviting their friends to come, right? They're saying, hey, come forth and hear what the word of the Lord is. I mean, they're excited about it. But after the preaching is done and the service is let out, they're the same people. There's no difference. It's a fleeting heart. It runs away. It's there for the moment, right? But as soon as the service is done, it's out. It checks out. You know, sometimes I think we look at church and we look at church like we look at a time clock. You know, did anybody remember the old time? You remember the time clocks? I mean, I had one job where I had a time clock. I only had one job. I don't know. Everything else was kind of a computer or whatever. I don't know what else it was. But I remember you took it in and you stuck it in there and it, you know, and you pulled it out, you know, and had a little date on there, whatever, what time it was, and their punch clock or whatever you had. And everybody would stand in line. Remember? You know, everybody stand in line, wait. And, you know, if you wanted to be the first out the door, you know, you were standing right beside the punch clock. You wanted to, as soon as that thing hit 3:15, you wanted to be out of there. You wanted to be gone. You wanted to be done. But I think sometimes we view church like that. We view our spirituality like that. We come to church, we punch the clock, you know, we have a good time at church, we sing our songs, we enjoy the fellowship, we maybe eat a lunch. We say, well, that's a good message or whatever like that. And then we go over to the door and we kind of punch back out, put our timesheet up there and say, man, I've done it. That's good. I'm good to go. I can live the way I want to live the rest of the week. Do what I like to do. You know, that's just exactly the way they were doing here in the book of Ezekiel. Let's be careful not to live like that. Let's be careful whenever the preaching comes, we'll hear the preaching and our hearts will be changed. Because I think if we'll do that, I think there's something else to be seen. It's in Ezekiel chapter number 34 in verse number 14. And Ezekiel chapter number 34, very interesting. I was reading this morning, how this is just a progression that's going on through here. And what's happening to the children of Israel. But Ezekiel 34 in verse number 14. Now God is, in chapter number 34, God is condemning the pastors, the shepherds of Israel for speaking good things, peaceable things to the people of Israel and not warning them like Ezekiel was doing. Kind of like that they said in Jeremiah, peace, peace, when what? There is no peace, right? That's what he's saying here. He's condemning them for talking like that. And in verse number 14, though, God says, I'm going to help out my people, though. He says, I will feed them in a good pasture And upon the high mountain of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture, there shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Verse number 16 is a great messianic verse right there, I think, about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus did. I mean, He healed up the brokenhearted. He binded them up, and He condemned those rich, overzealous Pharisees. I mean, and that was Jesus's ministry right there. But the whole point of this is that there's the faithful preacher. There's also the fleeting heart, but there's also a fed heart. You know, something very interesting is this, is that God desires to feed your soul. God desires that. God wants that. God, as it said in Ezekiel 33, He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He has no pleasure in that. He has no pleasure in that the wicked turn away. And when I say that to us tonight, I'm saying this: God has no pleasure when we don't listen or respond to the Word of God. He has no pleasure in that. He wants to feed us. The Bible says what? Draw nigh unto God, and He will what? Draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He tells us He wants us. He desires us. He wants us to be close to Him. He didn't create us so that He could fill a vacuum that He had. That's not at all. But here's the deal, is that He did create us, and in creating us, He desires a relationship with us. Why do you think the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 that in the cool of the day, guess what God did every single day in the garden? He came down and He talked with Adam. Every day. And one day He came down and talked to him, and He found out that he had sinned. And He'd broken that relationship with God through sin. And now there must be a payment to restore that relationship back. And I'm so glad that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to ultimately restore that relationship back between us and God and reconcile us back to God, as the Bible says. God has a desire to feed you. He has a desire to feed you. And here's the deal. I think a lot of times we're like spoiled children. Maybe not spoiled children, maybe just children. All right? We don't want what's best for us. Right? I mean, how many kids do you know would rather eat donuts and ice cream and lollipops rather than eat green beans, artichokes, and spinach? Right? I mean, if I put the two out there, what would your children choose? One of you's got the great child. I know. They would change the artichokes. You know, we would. There's always the weird kid. I know. All right? That's the way it is. But most kids are going to go after the lollipops, the donuts, and the ice cream. All right? And we're kind of like children, aren't we? We don't want what's best for us. But God is feeding us green beans and artichokes and spinach and carrots. He's trying to give us the good stuff. You're saying, man, I don't want that good stuff. That doesn't taste too good. I know, but it'll help you grow. Don't you want to be big and strong one day? I'm talking to you like little children, aren't I? Is that what we say to our kids? That's what God's saying to us. He said, I've come to feed my people. Don't you want to be big and strong? But that's amazing. This verse says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever. Amen. There's not only a fed heart, but there's also a fleshy heart. And I think this is the heart that we all would want and we all need to desire. And we all should say, Lord, give me this heart. It's found in Ezekiel chapter number 36, verse number 25. In Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verse number 25, He says this, He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. This is future, what's happening in the country of Israel. And He says, I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I call this the fleshy heart, not the fleshly heart. All right? And there's a difference, okay? There's a big difference. I don't want you to have a fleshly heart, all right? Lord wants us to have a fleshy heart, all right? He wants to have a heart not of stone, but of flesh. A heart that's not like an adamant stone. You know what an adamant stone is? It's that flint rock that strikes up against something and causes a spark. It's so hard it can spark something. That adamant stone. God says, no, I want you to have a soft heart, a fleshy heart. One that can be molded and made into the shape, into the image that I would want you to be made into. That you be not conformed to this world, but that you be transformed. That God's what God wants from us. And that's what God wants for us every time we come here. And that's what God wants for us here in these meetings. God wants us to have a heart of unity. A heart of unity. I want you to listen to what he says. He says basically the same thing in Ezekiel chapter number 11 and verse number 19, but in a little bit different fashion. He says, and I will give them one heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll take out the stony heart of their flesh and give you a heart of flesh. He tells us he wants us to have a heart that's filled with unity. I think a fleshy heart that's in a church is a heart of unity that goes together, that fits well together. It's not one person is detracting and one person is distracting and one person is over here dissenting and there's one person that's disrupting. I mean, that's not what God wants for a church. God wants our hearts to be knit together with Him in love. But not only a heart of unity, but a heart of purity. What does David say over in Psalm 51:10? Create in me what? A clean heart. A clean heart. I think one of the greatest things of these meetings is it just cleans us. Sanctify them through thy word, he says. He says, sanctify them. Wash me with what? Water. That word, it washes, it helps, it gets in there and it gets in the tough places, you know what I'm saying? It gets down there in the hard to reach spots that you can't get sometimes. That word gets in there and it changes our hearts. Have a fleshy heart, a heart that's moldable and conformable to the image of God. But there's not only the faithful preacher, but there's also the faithful heart. I want you to go over one more chapter in chapter number 37. We might have gone on, but this is where I stopped today in daily devotion. So chapter number 37, I saw Gog and Magog were coming up in 38 and 39, so I thought maybe I'll spend a little bit more time there tomorrow. But 37 is an awesome chapter. I think it's just one of the coolest chapters there is. I mean, I'm really liking the book of Ezekiel. I mean, there's so many crazy stuff, things that are going on there. I mean, he's got to lay on his left side. He's got to do a lot of unusual things. He's got to fix his food with, as he says, he's been told to fix food with man's dung. And Ezekiel says, that's too much for me. And he says, that's fine. You can use animal dung. you can use that. So there's a lot. He sees these crazy visions. I mean, by the river of Chebar. I mean, it's a very unusual book. I mean, he has to take two sticks and put them together. He's got to boil some things on a pot and have a message out of it. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff's going on in Ezekiel. And chapter number 37 is kind of like this climactic point in the book of Ezekiel. It's just judgment, judgment, judgment. All these things are coming upon the nation of Israel. And then he says in chapter number 37, he sees the vision of the dry bones. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, I'll never forget, there was a young preacher boy, and I just got to tell this story real quick, all right? A young preacher boy that was in from Georgia, and he preached from this passage, and it says Son of Man a bunch of times in this passage, and every time it come to that, he just said, every time I hear the word Son of Man, I hear him say, and he said unto me, Son of Man, Son of Man. I mean, that's all the time. I said, whole mess, Son of Man, Son of Man. So, anyhow, that was on my chest. I had to get that off. Now I feel better. He says in verse number 3, and he said to me, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, if you want to know what happens in the rest of the chapter, I think you'll know. I think you can find it out. You can figure it out. He prophesies to the bones. The bones stand up. They create a great army. The flesh comes upon the bones, but there's no life in them. And then he commands the wind, and they blow upon them. The spirit comes upon them, and they come to life. And God makes an analogy that he will do the same to his people of Israel. And I think there's a great analogy for us that sometimes we're like a valley of dry bones, and that many times our lives spiritually are dry. They're lifeless, if you will. And it takes the Spirit of God to move upon us to work in our hearts and our lives. But my point with this whole thing is this, is that can God do a work this week? Well, here it is. Have a faithful heart. I love what he says to God in verse number 3. He says, and I answer, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can these bones live? God, can you do something in my heart? If God was asked, could I do something in your life? Lord, you know. Lord, you know. Lord, if the Lord said, could I feed your heart? Lord, you know. You know. You know, God. Ezekiel is essentially saying, Lord, you can do anything. Lord, you can do whatever you want to do. You're God. Can these bones live? Lord, you know. You know they can. You know. Whatever you want, God. Whatever it is. You can do it. I encourage you. Have a heart, not a fleeting heart, that says, oh man, that's a great message. Oh man, he stood up on the pulpit. Did you see that? I mean, he's just going crazy. I mean, it's just, I'm not going to say he's going to stay on the pulpit. Just, he did this or he said that. Man, that was a really good statement. I wrote that down in my Bible. And we walk out of here and we're not any different. Or we take the punch card and we punch out. Don't do that this week. Have a faithful heart, a heart that believes, yes, God can do something because he's God. Have a fleshy heart. A heart that's made conformable to his image. And have a heart that's willing to be fed because God wants to feed us. Father, we thank you for what you